So what the ceremony is doing today is people are being initiated into the practice of the Hare Krishna mantra. First initiation, then five other people who have been received first initiation will receive a further initiation, which will make their chanting more powerful, it's hoped, and also enable them to do priestly services like serve the deity on the altar. But for practicing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we have not so many conditions of time and place and circumstance, but it's nevertheless a serious process. We invite everybody to come and chant. We go out in the streets and chant, and if the people coming out of the bar are intoxicated and they jump up and down and chant, we're happy, we're glad they're chanting. We don't say, oh, I'm happy that people can chant. I want them to chant. Because anything is good that they can do. But still, if one wants to commit oneself seriously to the cultivating the full opportunities offered by the Holy Name, then there's a practice or a process one has to follow. And initiation means that one is actually committing oneself very, very seriously to this path, to the path of cultivating the Holy Name. So I just want to explain a little bit what this means. At this time, the people who are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, they take vows. And the vows are four. The vows are that they will follow four regular principles. Not eating meat, fish, or eggs. Only eat food that's offered to Krishna. Not take any intoxication. Not engage in illicit sex, and not engage in gambling or long-term, fruitless, time-wasting activities. waste valuable time. So these are the vows that the devotee takes, and also they vow that on the beads that they're going to receive, hanging out there, the beads they're going to receive, they'll every day chant around those beads 16 times. There's 108 beads. They'll commit, they're committing themselves to chanting this regulated number of names of the Hare Krishna mantra. On each bead, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So 16 times around. 108 times 16, and that takes a commitment of 1.5 to 2 hours every day. It's not really that difficult. So this is, and I'm also making a commitment as their spiritual master and guide to help them on this path. There are different things that can go wrong. Sometimes people need encouragement. So there's some supervision by people who've been practicing a longer time, and presumably have made many mistakes, and so can help other people avoid them. So in this way, we are making a commitment to making. I'm also making personally a commitment to them to lead them out of this material world into the realm of Krishna's eternal pastimes. So the process is that we have to cultivate this holy name. In the beginning, anybody can chant. But if we want to become serious, then there is the process that needs to be followed. And that process is that we have to chant the holy name while trying to avoid offenses. Because Krishna and Krishna's name are identical. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. Because he's absolute truth. In the relative world, a thing and its name are different. And so, saying water over and over and over again will not quench my thirst. because the name and that which is named are two different things. But when it comes to the absolute truth, Krishna and Krishna's name are identical. So in one sense, Krishna is very easily available in the form of his name. Anyone who just chants Krishna's name in the form of a Maha Mantra will be in contact with Krishna. But nevertheless, because of our different degrees of qualifications, we may realize the presence of Krishna or not. Even though Krishna is present, we may not be aware of the presence of Krishna. And actually, if we actually experience the holy name, we would see Krishna face to face. And the mere recitation of the name of Krishna, our hair would stand on end, our eyes would feel with tears, our heart would melt. So if that's not exactly happening, then we can see we're at some distance from the holy name. Even though we're chanting, the holy name is not manifesting us. Why is this? Well, it's because according to our experts, our previous acharyas, that somehow or other we are committing some offense against the holy name. And so to practice the cultivation of the holy name means that now we are committing ourselves to chanting while trying to give up offenses. And there's a list of offenses against the holy name. It comes from the Padma Purana. The first offense is to we recite them every morning. Now probably I forget one or two here, but the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who are the servants of the holy name. Unnecessarily to find fault with those people who dedicated their lives to spreading the name all over the world. The second offense is to consider the names of devatas, demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, to be equal or independent of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth. There's only one God, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabhi Guruji, and everyone else is his servant. So they are very highly placed servants of God. They run the universe. There's a kind of a cosmic bureaucracy, a cosmocrats. But they are not on the level of the absolute truth. They are not the ultimate source of everything. So it's an offense to think, oh, it doesn't matter what you chant, anything you chant, you're the same. It has to be a name of Krishna. The name of God has these particular purposes. He alone is the absolute truth. Third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. One has accepted the spiritual master who is the servant of the holy name and has given instructions by which we can make advance of that. If I neglect those orders, then that's an offense. I think maybe, well, that's his opinion, I have my own opinion. Well, there's so many opinions. That's also considered offense, not merely against the spiritual master, but against the holy name. The holy name takes it personally. What's next? Fourth offense.
That's the Vedic literature.
Huh? To blaspheme the Vedas, or the literatures that are in pursuance of the Vedas. The transcendental knowledge of Krishna and his name is coming down to us through the Vedic literature. And we have to accept it as transcendental literature. It's not a product of overworked, fatigued minds in this material world, speculating on so many things. It's coming from, descending from the spiritual world. Fifth offense, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. I've just told you so many things about the holy name that it's not good. We should accept these statements that are coming from Shastra. We may not have that experience, but others have. And if you consider the imagination, then you'll maybe give some interpretation. Well, I see the people that chant Hare Krishna are actually very happy. And must be doing something with their serotonin reuptake inhibitors or whatever the latest fashionable is a natural form of Prozac. Before they used to say something about the right brain and the left brain, and before that it was the CO2 level in the blood. You know, so these speculations are going on. Actually, the holy name is effective because of the spiritual sound. How far have I got? Then the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities in the strength of chanting the holy name. The holy name can actually destroy all so much bad karma. Now I think, wow, what a great deal. I go out and commit so many sinful activities. We come back, chant Hare Krishna, and the slate's quite clean. This is a terrible offense against the holy name, to engage it in my sinister purposes. And if I do that, I can't expect that I'll make any progress in chanting. Did I skip one? Six, five, six, seven, eight. Eighth offense.
Which is the eighth?
I said I would say it. They're going fast here. Oh yeah, to consider the name of Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas. As curative activities of karma kanda. Sometimes they're ritualistic activities that we perform for our material well-being. Make the holy name to be something like that. That's an offense. The ninth offense is to preach the glories of the holy name to somebody who's not interested, who's faithless. We ask everybody to come to chant, but if they're not interested, we should pursue this path. Tenth offense does not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Or it's the same thing to maintain material attachments. Even if we've understood so many instructions about this. For the holy name actually can render all benedictions. If we succeed in our efforts at chanting Hare Krishna, we will not be lacking in any department. But if I'm lacking in this faith and have material desires that I don't want to become free from, and that's also an offense against the holy name. Some lack of faith. Notice the offense is not to have the material desires. They may be there in the beginning stages. But the offense is that if I have them, I think they're okay. At least we should say, pray to Krishna, please remove these desires from my heart. Oh, here's the list. Okay, great. Finally, it's also mentioned that it's an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Now this is sort of an all-pervasive difficulty, but especially while we're chanting on japa. We're inviting Krishna, we're calling upon Krishna, and so we should not ignore him. Just like if I've invited some important person to my house, and they show up at the appointed time, and I'm not there to greet them, and I'm out in the back staking up the tomato plants or something. That's rude. So similarly, we're inviting the holy name. We should be attentive and receive the holy name properly. If we follow these guidelines in avoiding these offenses, then we will at least be chanting on the clearing stage. We may not experience the full pure name, Shuddha Nam is called, the pure holy name, but what we will experience is the dawning twilight of the name. That the holy name is like the sun that's below the horizon in the morning. But still, the dawning light of the sun is in the sky. And even that dawning light is so potent that that alone can give liberation. And so many people are striving so hard for. Automatically, that comes. Just the dawning light of the holy name on the clearing platform destroys all sinful reactions and gives liberation. And when they name itself finally arises, then something far, far better than liberation, Krishna Prema, the love of God, is here. So these things will happen. This is the experience of so many people who have cultivated the holy names, many thousands of years. They've given us all these instructions how to do this properly. And if we do it, if we follow these instructions, then very quickly, we'll become happy. Our sinful reactions will disappear. We'll become immune from the buffeting of material nature, all the ups and downs that come around. And very quickly we'll achieve the love of God. So this is the process that these initiates are now committing themselves to follow, to chanting, while avoiding these offenses. And to, in this lifetime, make this the last lifetime in the material world. Don't hang around. It's only going to get worse. If you think this administration is bad, I can guarantee you, you haven't seen anything yet. Let's make a quick work out of it and go back home, back to Dallas. We have all that opportunity. What I'm going to do now is call the candidates for first initiation up one by one. We'll just go in line. I like it. And I'm going to ask them, I forgot to tell them ahead of time, I'm going to ask them to tell me what are the four regular principles and whether they promise to chant 16 rounds a day. Sometimes, even though they know the principle, it's a little hard under pressure. Just like I couldn't remember the seventh against that for a minute. They'll come and then I will give them the beads that I've chanted on, and also a spiritual name. This is initiation means second birth. And so you get to observe that with a brand new name. To some extent, you can start over. The inheritance from the past, if we're careful, will not bother us anymore. Okay, first one. Dr. Rundell, huh? He's these big, gnarly beads. So what are the four regular principles?
Well, this is sex, no eating, again, no intoxication. Mm-hmm.
And how many rounds a day would you chant on these big arguments?
At least 16 rounds.
At least 16 rounds. Very good. So take your beat in your right hand. Your name is Rama. Servant of Lord Krishna and Lord Bala. Well, next is Dr. Kwame. So, Dr. Farnley, four regular principles?
No meat, no intoxication, no success, no damage.
And how many rounds a day? A minimum of 16.
While
trying to work. So, your name is Kali Pavanadas. Savior of the people of Kali Yuga, Kali Pava. And we're only trying to send it to save everybody in Kali Yuga, so now you have to assist them. So, Bhakta Mark. Savior. says in the Bible, Maha Seva Vaha Ahuram case, that the door to liberation is the service of great souls, Mahatma. Now you are the servant of those who serve the great souls.
Bhagavatam 552. Bhakta Zach. Shashi Surya Das. This means that you are the servant of Krishna who has the sun and the moon as his eyes. Shashi is the moon, Surya is the sun. Shashi Surya. Okay, Alex. Somebody can come and put the napkins on the dishes. Your name is Polony Deva. It means that she is the protector of all living entities. And finally, but not least, Martin Bridget. Vidya Vadu means that Devi Dasi means she's the maidservant of a goddess of transcendental knowledge who is the bride of Sankirtana. This is from the Shishastika Vidya Vadu Jivana. Gives life to the bride of transcendental knowledge. So now, what we'll do is we'll have a little bit of chanting, and I build the fire. And then, when the fire is started, people have a chance, we're going to do this fire sacrifice and chant these mantras, and at the end of the mantras, say swaha with grace to the fire. The people who are receiving second initiation will later in private receive the guidance mantras.
Can we have a little
Oh,